All right, brethren, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Our subject tonight is the wisdom and pleasure of God. The wisdom and pleasure of God. Let's read verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God. In the wisdom of God. The world, by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God. It pleased God. By the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. We believe, according to the Scriptures, that Christ is the head over His body, which is the church. And believing our resurrected Redeemer is the head over His church, we believe, according to the Scriptures, that it's Christ who gathers together His people and meets together with His people, and that as the gospel is being preached, declaring His marvelous works, His person and His works, as the gospel is being preached, we believe Christ is truly preaching to His people and teaching His people in spirit, making it effectual in our hearts so that we can hear and giving us faith to believe and to trust Him. That's why we don't lean to our own wisdom. That's why we trust the gospel to be the wisdom of God. Because we know Christ is the wisdom and the power by which He instructs His people and makes His people obedient. He makes us obedient to believe Him and rest entirely in Him. Not trusting our works, not trusting anything that we've done by law. And He makes us obedient to love one another and care for one another and provide for one another. Not constrained by legal constraints, but by the love of Christ, His love for us. And this is taught us, and we're brought to this obedience by Christ preaching to us through the preaching of the gospel. This is what we believe. The first problem in Corinth is the problem that most people have in our day. They were looking to and trusting in and leaning upon the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man. They were impressed with preachers who've been taught by men in man-made schools rather than being impressed with those Christ called and Christ taught and Christ sent who preached the gospel according to the Scriptures. They were impressed with those who used eloquence of speech, who were able to word the gospel in such a way that it took the offense out of the gospel. Rather than Christ preachers who simply declare the Word of God, preach Christ according to the Scriptures without using the wisdom of man's words. And here's what was really bad. There were some among them who were even saying, we're of Christ. We were taught the gospel by Christ. We were searching the Word, and He revealed Himself to us. We didn't even have a preacher, so we don't even need a preacher. That's what they were saying. We're of Christ. We don't need a preacher. Brethren, be very, very fearful of a so-called conversion that's not according to the Word of God. God saves exactly the way God says He saves in His Word. However He says He saves in this book is how God saves. Now understand that and know that. There's no shadow of turning with God. Let God be true. His Word is the truth. And let every man be a liar. And that means our feelings. That means our so-called experiences. That means the experiences that men talk about, we bring it all to this Word of God. And if it don't line up with the Word of God,
it's got to go. Because God's true and every man's a liar. Now, if we're God's, this doctrine, just like all doctrine, it won't be an offense to us. If He's truly saved us by His Word, it won't be an offense to us. We'll bow to God and we'll believe Him. It's only offensive to those who rest in a false refuge. All doctrine, no matter what it is offensive only if it touches on a man's false refuge. That's when it becomes offensive to a man. But if we're God's, He'll destroy every false refuge. And He'll do it through this means of public preaching. I pray He does that tonight. Now, the Holy Spirit used Paul to declare that God does not use man's wisdom to save His people. He uses the gospel, the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Paul said back up there in verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize, not to make converts, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross, this literal preaching of the Word of God, its subject being Christ Himself, it's to them that are perishing foolishness. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. The power of God. And then the Holy Spirit gives reasons why God chose the means of public preaching, the preaching of Christ, to save His people. We saw verse 19 last time. Now this time we come to verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Here's what we're going to see tonight. In eternal wisdom, the eternal wisdom of God, after God proved that man's wisdom is utter foolishness, utterly worthless, it pleased God after that to give Christ the glory of sending His preachers, and through them, Christ preaches His gospel, and it's through this means that Christ saves them that believe. And that's what we're going to see. Now, first of all, we're going to just take this one verse and break it down into three separate sections. First of all, we're shown here, it's the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God to save through preaching. It's the wisdom of God. Verse 21 says, For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Now this means two things, and both apply. Both are true, both apply. Now first of all, for thousands of years, God manifested to men His wisdom by the things that God made, by things that we clearly see. He showed some things that could be known about Himself in creation. Look over at Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. I want you to hold your place in Romans 1. I'm going to come back here a couple of times. Romans chapter 1. I read this to you the other day. He says in verse 19, that which may be known of God, that which may be known of God. Not everything may be known this way, but that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Speaking of men, the heathen Gentile world. And it says here, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power in Godhead, so that all men are without excuse. All men are without excuse. He showed us the things that could be known of God by creation, and yet because of the fall, because we fell in Adam. Now hear this carefully. Because we fell in Adam, brethren, not a single sinner ever knew God by the light of creation. Not one in the history of the world. Not one. The wisest heathen never came to a true understanding of God by his own searching. Never. Look down at verse 22. It says, professing themselves to be wise. Anybody can do that. They professed themselves to be wise, but he says they became fools. Why? Here's what they did. Look down at verse 25. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature. They worshiped man, and they worshiped God's creation more, or rather than God, rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. All right? Then God created Israel. He created the nation Israel. And God gave His oracles from Mount Sinai to the nation Israel. But left to themselves, they did exactly what the Gentiles did. Exactly what they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped man rather than God. And that's what Paul's talking about in Romans 2. Look there in verse 3. He's speaking here to the scribes and Pharisees. And he says, thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which doest such things? You look at the Gentiles here that I've been talking about, who changed the truth of God into the lie. And you judge them that do such things. And he said, and you do the same thing. You changed the truth of God into a lie. You took the law of God, and instead of seeing Christ in the shadows and the types, and instead of seeing your need of Christ, instead of seeing your sin by the law, he says, you took it and changed the truth into a lie and told men they could be saved by their works, and now you're trying to come to God by your works. You're worshiping man rather than God. Even then, when Christ came Himself and walked this earth, when wisdom Himself walked this earth and men saw Him face to face, you know what the Scripture says? He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Look at back at, hold your place in Romans, and look back at 1 Corinthians, and look at verse chapter 2 and verse 8. None of the princes of this world knew. None of the rulers, none of the leaders, in religion or out, knew Christ. None of them did. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Nobody knew. Now here's what he's telling us. In the history of the world, not one sinner ever, using the light of nature or using the Word of God, not one sinner ever taught himself who God is and how God saves sinners. Not one. Not one. That's our depravity. Not one did it. Now look back at Romans 3, and I'll show you what Paul concludes. He pointed this out, he showed this, he proved this, and then he brings it to this conclusion in Romans 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. We're not better than the Jew, and we're not better than the Gentile. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. That's why we cannot, by our searching, know God. We're under sin. We fail in Adam. Our discernment is gone by nature. Look at this. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There's a lot who appear to be seeking after God. By the natural eye, they appear to be seeking after God, but Christ said they're searching the Scriptures that they might find life in the Scriptures. Life by their own hand. But they're not seeking Christ, that they might be saved by Christ. And that's the truth of this book. Christ is. Now look, none seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. That's me. That's you. That's your babies. That's your grandchildren. That's everybody in this world. That's all of us. Now, back in our text, that's what this phrase means at first. God gave thousands of years, and He proved man, by His own wisdom, couldn't know God. Now, here's what else it means. It means that this was on purpose, according to the wisdom of God. In God's eternal wisdom, God foreordained from eternity that after He proved that man's wisdom was utterly worthless, God, in His wisdom, purposed from the very beginning, before the world was made, that Christ would come. He would send forth the God-man, His Son, and Christ would establish His kingdom by His work on the cross. and Christ would equip His preachers, teaching them the gospel through the message, through preaching. And Christ would send them forth, and Christ would preach through the Word to the hearts of His people, and that's how He'd save His people. From then on, that's how He'd save them, through the preaching of the gospel. That's what our text is declaring, and that's what Christ does. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said that John the Baptist marked the end of the old legal dispensation and marked the new beginning of this gospel age. He said it, he put it this way. He was making a point that had to do with something else, but this is the truth of it nonetheless. He said the law and the prophets were until John. And he said, since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. The kingdom of God is preached. And every man presseth into it. Not all men, but every elect child of God, by His Spirit, by His grace, making it effectual, they press into this kingdom. He said in Luke 10:21, remember the scribes and Pharisees rejected Him. And Christ said this, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. They didn't believe on Him. Why did He rejoice? In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things, the gospel, from the wise and the prudent, and Thou hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. It was according to God's wisdom. And then Paul says God ordained this before the world was. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, he says, we speak the wisdom of God. That's what we preach. 1 Corinthians 2:7. And it's a mystery, though, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This was God's eternal wisdom to save through the preaching of the gospel. Now, I'm making this point because I want you to understand. Some people say that God tried to save through the light of nature, and then He tried to save through giving the law, and then that none of that worked, so He had to go to plan B, and He had to send Christ, and He had to send the gospel. That's a lie. God don't have a plan B. Whatever God does in time, it's what God purposed from eternity past. Because He declares, as Isaiah said, He declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. We're looking at what pleased God. He said, I'm going to do my pleasure. So, the phrase means it was according to the wisdom of God. That after God had proven man's total inability to know God by man's own wisdom, after that, God was pleased by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. All right, now, that's the first point. If you're going to be saved, brethren, I want everybody to understand this. I know that men, they try to get Bibles that, you know, have everything in today's language, and they think that's going to help me understand God. They want to try to find a preacher who's got the best man-made education at a man-made cemetery. That's not going to help you believe God. They try to find, you know, they use their own wisdom and logic to try to figure out God and think you're not going to figure out God that way. If you could, He wouldn't be God if you and I could figure Him out. God has to reveal Himself to us. And He says He's pleased to do it through the preaching of the Word. Now, here's the second thing. The Holy Spirit declares this is not only the wisdom of God, but this is what pleased God. Look at verse 21. It pleased God. After that, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, on several occasions, I've preached messages to you, and we've gone through the Scriptures, and we've looked at the things that please God. There's a lot of places in Scripture where it tells us what pleased God. Now, I'm about to give you these things again. And here's the reason I'm giving them to you. I can't possibly have you look all these up. We'll look up some of them, but you can jot them down if you want to. But this is what pleased God. And the reason I'm showing you this is that all of these things must come to pass.
And they have and they shall because it pleased God. No sinner can be saved except in the way that pleased God. And so, when we read here that it pleased God to save by the foolishness of preaching, you can rest assured this is the way God's going to save His people. Because it pleased God to do it. Just like these other things please God. Now, I'm sure we won't deny these other things. I hope we won't. And I hope you see, after looking at these things, neither ought we to deny this truth. Because this pleased God just like these things, other things pleased God. Number one, it pleased God to choose whom He would and make them His elect people. 1 Samuel 12:22 says this, "The Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people." Now, here's the question. Can anybody be saved except God choose them? No. Will God ever forsake one that He's chosen? No. Why? Because it pleased God to make you His people. Well, by the same token, not one sinner will ever be saved apart from the preaching of the gospel, because it pleased God to save by the foolishness of preaching. All right, it pleased God to bruise Christ as our substitute in the place of His people to satisfy God's justice and to justify His people. I will have you turn to this, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I want you to read this. Verse 10 says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise Him." It satisfied God. That's what it means. It brought satisfaction to God's divine justice, bruising Christ on the cross. "It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong days." Now watch this. "And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in Christ's hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, pleased. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Now, can even one sinner be saved except that Christ go to the cross, be made sin for us, and bear the divine justice that we owe to justice, bear the punishment we owe, the stripes we owe, and satisfy justice? Can any sinner be saved any other way? No way. God's law had to be satisfied. God had to be declared just. And in the process, Christ justified His people. God justified His people in His Son, Christ Jesus the Lord. No sinner can be saved any other way. It pleased God. It pleased God. Well, neither can a sinner be saved any other way except through the preaching of the gospel of Christ, because it pleased God to do it that way. Pleased God. Then we're told this. Now, I have you turn here too. Colossians 1. And I want you to turn here because this has a great deal to do with what Christ is doing in this gospel age. Galatians chapter 1. I'm sorry, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Says, "He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Christ might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell." It pleased God, He foreordained this, that Christ would usher in a new beginning. He would usher in the gospel age. Christ would be the one who would fulfill the law, establish righteousness, and He would be the one to send forth His preachers. And because it's Christ that must fulfill all things. All fullness must come from Christ. It pleased the Father that in Him all fullness dwell. Just the same as He's the fullness of the righteousness of the law, He's the fullness that's going to send His preacher and bless it to the hearts of His people. It's His glory to do one the same as it is to do the other. We're not going to deny one. We're not going to deny Him the glory of the other. because it's His glory. That's what He's saying in that text. Now, can a single sinner be saved without Christ receiving, without all fullness being from Christ? No. He's got to have the preeminence. But He filleth all in all. And so no sinner can be saved except through the preaching of the Word, because that pleased God too. That pleased God.
Now the works, I've got to understand, the works of Christ. When we talk about His works as our risen head, it includes His works of sending this gospel, of preaching through it to His people, of sending the Spirit, of blessing it to our hearts. Those works are as much His works as what He did on the cross, brethren. Don't undervalue the work of Christ as the risen head of His people. All right, now, it pleased God to reveal His Son in the hearts of His people at God's predestinated time. Paul said in Galatians 1:15, when it pleased God. There he was, religious man, been to the seminary under Gamaliel, and he's going about with letters to crucify, to kill God's church. But when it pleased God. He said, who separated me from my mother's womb. He chose me before I even knew me. And He says, He called me by His grace and revealed His Son in me when it pleased God. And it pleased God to save His people through God-given faith. But without faith, Scripture says, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must come believing that He is everything He says in His Word. Believing He saves exactly how He saves in His Word. Believing God is who He says He is in His Word. And believing He's the rewarder, He's the salvation of them that come seeking Him. And then it pleased God to make known to His people the mystery of His will. This gospel. And this mystery of His will is His pleasure. It's His pleasure. Scripture says, Ephesians 1:9 says, He made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. And here's that will, here's that good pleasure of God. In the dispensation of the fullness of times. That means when Christ is called the last one out of His people, the last elect child He's called out of this world into His church, into faith in Christ. When the fullness of times has come, God's going to gather together in one, that is Christ, all things in Christ, everything, all His people, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. That's God's will. He's taught us that through this Word. And then in the end, it pleased God, He's going to give all His believing children the kingdom of God. Fear not, little flock, Christ said, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Those are all things that please God. Now, can one of those things that please God fail to come to pass? Can any one of them fail? Not one of them. If one of those things that please God fails to come to pass, we can't be saved. We cannot be saved. Well, neither can this fail. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It pleased God. Was God sovereign enough to do all of these things that please Him? Yeah, He sure was. So He's sovereign to send His gospel to His child and make His child cross the paths with that gospel, and sovereign enough to give His child the Word in our heart and make us live and make us believe and make us bow to Him. He's sovereign to do it. That's who God is. He's sovereign in salvation. Sovereign in salvation. All right, lastly, what's true preaching? What does He mean here by preaching? He says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, hear me carefully because I don't want to be misunderstood. True preaching. Includes the literal public act of preaching, what I'm doing right here, right now. And you can read the context, and it's impossible to make Paul be saying anything but that.
He says repeatedly, the preaching of the cross, not with wisdom of the word. We preach Christ. I came to you not with excellency of speech, preaching the testimony of God. He's talking about preaching Christ, literally preaching. And I make that point because some people try to take this text and say it don't mean actual preaching. Yes, it does. It means preaching. And it also means the subject that's preached, Christ Himself, the person of Christ and all that He accomplished. True preaching declares Christ is the Son of God. He's God the Son, the second person in the Trinity. Christ was chosen by God the Father. He's preeminently the elect of God. God chose Him. And God chose a people, and He entrusted His people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't back up from that. We don't try to mince words about that. We don't try to cloak that in wisdom of words. We just declare it. God chose a people in Christ Jesus. And when He did it, He blessed His people with all spiritual blessings in Him. That's what the Scripture said. We delight in that. Don't you delight in that? Because God's taught you the truth in your heart. True preaching declares that Christ came and was made of a woman. He's the Son of God and the Son of Man. He's the God-man. And He was made of a woman and made under the law because He came and He accomplished the redemption of His particular people. And only His particular people. That's so because He satisfied justice for those for whom He died. And if He satisfied justice for everybody, then they all got to be saved. But He satisfied justice for that particular people. Which we declare that because it declares the glory of Christ. Because it declares He successfully accomplished the redemption of His people. But Daniel 9, if you can find it, I want you to see what Christ accomplished and is now accomplishing. Daniel 9, verse 24. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined. They're purposed by God. It's God's pleasure. That means at the exactly appointed time, Christ went to the cross. And it says, upon thy people and upon thy holy city. That's God's elect. Here's what Christ did. To finish the transgression. Isn't that good news? Christ finished the transgression. Our transgression. He finished it. Look at this. He made an end of sins. God says, I don't remember your sins anymore. Christ put them away. He's that scapegoat that took our sins away into that land not inhabited. Look at this. He made reconciliation for iniquity. God was in Christ reconciling His people unto Himself. He brought in everlasting righteousness. And He is that righteousness, brethren, the righteousness of God. And look at this now. This is so important. And Christ came to seal up the vision and the prophecy. That means all law and all prophecy must be fulfilled by Christ alone. That's what He came to do. Seal it up. To put an end to it by accomplishing it. And to anoint the Most Holy. To enter into that holy place. To that holiest of holies, and sit down, having accomplished the work for His people, from which now He's ministering as that anointed, holy Lord and Christ who's ministering to His people from glory through the gospel. And this is important. Don't miss this now. As much as all that other is true preaching also declares that Christ, right now, as the risen head of His people, is receiving all the glory for this means right here, for this public preaching. He's doing it. Because he gets the glory for sending the preacher, and He gets the glory for being the subject preached. It's all glorifying Him. Every bit of it. The means and the subject preached. And then when He gives life, He's the life. He gets the glory for that. Now, we just read in Daniel. I want you to... Now, just look at that. We read in Daniel, just then, all prophecy must be fulfilled by Christ. What Daniel spoke, he's a prophet, that's prophecy. It all has to be fulfilled by Christ. And we read there in Isaiah, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in Christ's hand. Whatever pleased the Lord, it's going to prosper. It's going to prosper in Christ's hand. He must fulfill
That's a prophet. Isaiah, that's his prophecy. It's got to be fulfilled by Christ. Now, Christ accomplishes everything that God said He would accomplish in the Law and the Prophets. Now listen carefully. Not only for His people, which He does. He accomplishes everything for His people on the cross. He also accomplishes the whole work in His people through the gospel. I was looking at what pleased God, and I never zeroed in on this till today. Listen to this. It's God which worketh in you. That's God our Savior. Christ Jesus our Lord, our God, our Redeemer, our Head. It's God that works in you both to will and to do what? His good pleasure. His good pleasure. Whatever pleases God, that's what He's working in the midst of His people. Now, this is what He said through the prophet Jeremiah. He's got to fulfill all prophecy. And through the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 3:15, He said this, I will give you preachers according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That prophecy, just like every other prophecy, that prophecy, just like the prophecy that showed that he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, that prophecy, just like the prophecy that showed in Isaiah that said, we all like sheep have gone astray, and He laid on Him the iniquity of us all, and with His stripes we're healed. Just like He fulfilled that prophecy, He fulfills this prophecy. I will give you preachers according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Christ does that, and He gets the glory for doing it. They're only sent by Christ Himself. True preachers. I'm not talking about all preachers. I'm talking about true preachers. The preachers who preach a message that gives Christ all the glory. They're sent of Christ. They're sent of Christ. When He walked this earth, Christ personally called His apostles. He personally called His apostles. He called Paul after. He's the only man we see afterwards when Christ arose that was called personally by Christ. And even him, He sent a preacher to him, though it was Christ who taught him personally, because he was an apostle. But He called His apostles, and then He gave them a charge to go forth and preach the gospel. And what did He say? I'm with you always. When you go forth and preach, I'm preaching that word with you. I'm the one that's going to make it effectual. And if you've ever preached the gospel, you know you can't make it effectual. You can't make people believe. You can't even keep people's attention. A horsefly could come in here, and everybody in here would be looking at that horsefly. But if Christ grabs you in the heart, you're going to pay attention. You're going to hear what He's saying. He's the only one that can do it. He said in Ephesians 4, He that descended up is the same one that came down. And He ascended far above all heavens that He might fill all things. Need a pulpit filled? Christ's going to fill it. Need a heart filled? Christ's going to fill it. Need righteousness filled? Christ's going to fulfill it. Need a law fulfilled? Christ's going to fulfill it. Everything that needs to be fulfilled, He's filling it. Christ did. And He does so, it says, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come. In what? In the unity of the faith. In the knowledge of the Son of God. That's right. Now, you know what some in Corinth were saying? Some in Corinth were saying this, I searched the Word without a preacher. Oh, but they were careful to say, but it was God, it was Christ who revealed Himself in me. They said, we're of Christ. Yeah, we searched the Word. In Christ, we saw the truth. We believe the truth. But it was Christ who revealed it to me. And the Holy Spirit's declaring through Paul, you mean Christ could do that, but He couldn't send you a preacher like He said He would? That really hits a blow to our wisdom, don't it? That really hits a blow to man's trusting in his own wisdom and his own searching and his own finding God. As sovereignly and as successfully as Christ accomplished eternal redemption for His people, as sovereignly and successfully He sends His preacher.
and He sovereignly, successfully sends His Spirit and quickens and teaches and converts His child. I'll give you a challenge. Anybody that has a problem with this, I'll give you a challenge. I don't want you to be found in the day of judgment fighting against God. I want you to be found on God's side, taking sides with God against yourself, resting in Christ, trusting Christ. I'm not your enemy telling you this. I want you to be on God's side. I want you to be saved by God. So let me give you, anybody that says, well, I think I saved some other way. Let me give you this challenge. Find me one sinner in the New Testament, in this age in which you and I live, because it don't much matter how they're saved in the Old Testament. We don't live in that day. He said, after that, in the wisdom of God, He proved man's wisdom was useless. After that, it pleased God to save by the foolishness of preaching. That's how He saves in this age. Let me ask you to find one person in the Scriptures, other than the Apostle Paul, who was saved any other way than God sending a preacher to him and preaching the gospel to him. You won't find one. You won't find one. He turned the world upside down to do it sometimes. He prevented men from going, preachers from going where they thought they should go and sent them somewhere else. But He always sent the preacher where He'd have that preacher to go, and He preached the gospel to His people. He threw Paul in prison to do that so He could preach to the Philippian jailer. See, God's sovereign. This is Christ, our risen head. He's sovereign, and He can bring the gospel to His people. He really can. How shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how should they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know what a slap in the face it is? Not only to God's sovereignty, not only to God's truth, not only to Christ as our head, but as a slap to all the preachers who by God's grace bore shame and spitting and rejection for preaching this gospel. To say I was saved without God sending me a preacher, that's a slap in every one of them's face. Not only does He send the preacher, He reveals it. Go back to Romans 1. See, He's getting the glory all the way around in this thing. Christ is. Look at this. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul said, for it, public preaching which gives Christ all the glory, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's nobody left out of this. It's so for the Jew and it's so for the Gentile. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Christ is our righteousness. And Christ, the faithful one, reveals He's our righteousness from Christ the faithful to the heart of faith that He's created and made to receive it. It's from Christ the faithful to the faith He gives. He teaches it. And watch this. And that's a prophecy that He has to fulfill as well. As it is written. See it? As it is written. The just, those Christ is justified, shall live. They shall be quickened to life by Christ, so that from then on, the just shall live by faith. By faith. By faith. Oh, do you see the wisdom of God? God's designed it. He's ordered it so that when He brings His sheep together in His body, they're going to always flock together. Because He makes us know Christ is the power and wisdom of God, and He's made us know this through the preaching of the gospel. He does not save us the first time, and then it's done, and you know people go out and do what they want to do from then on, and say, well, I got my name on a church roll. No, He saves the first hour, and He keeps saving from every hour till then, and He does it through the constant preaching of the gospel of Christ, from faith to faith. He said, As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, that is, believeth on me, even he shall live by me. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, He said. The flesh profits nothing. Now listen to this. the words that I speak unto you. The words I speak unto you. Their spirit and their life. Now here's what the world doesn't believe. And this is what I want you to get. As real as Christ was standing there in person, speaking the words of eternal life to Peter, making him believe, making him bow, making him alive, making him rest in Christ. As real as he was there that day doing it, Christ is doing it right now through the preaching of the gospel. Some of you that are hearing him speak in your heart, I'm not talking about audibly, I'm talking about him teaching you this word in your heart. You can vouch for that. You know it's Christ teaching you. Otherwise, you couldn't believe him. And he says, your flesh profits nothing. My flesh is not profiting anything. You see, I'm going to show you a little later, no flesh don't glory in his presence. This is the only means that's so, because Christ takes the things he'd have you to hear and know and believe, and he puts them in your heart so that nothing else is going to matter. And you can't glory any other way but in him. No flesh can glory. So then, listen to this. So he brings us to say, knowing this, that this is how he's ministering these words of eternal life to us. And we have to live upon him by his words. We say with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We can't go anywhere. We've got to stay together and hear the gospel preached by him. Now, what would make somebody in Corinth profess to believe on Christ in truth and yet deny this truth? What would make a person deny any of those other things that please God? What would make a person deny that it pleased God to make you his people? He wants to do the choosing. Or would it make why would a person deny it pleased God to bruise Christ and justify his people? He wants to be the righteousness. You see, brethren, the heart's deceitful. It's wicked. It'll make a man hold on to his own searching just to have something he did that he can glory in. But I'll tell you this, when Christ speaks through his gospel and teaches us in the heart, he'll make us let it go. He'll make his child let it go and bow to him and believe him and say, yes, Lord, you've done it. You've saved me through the preaching of your word like you said you would. That's what Christ will do. So go home with this real quickly. One, be fearful of claiming you were saved any other way contrary to the word of God. God's going to save just like he says he's going to save in his word. Number two, remember it's Christ working in you in the midst of his church. And he's going to do it through the preaching of the gospel that declares his glory and his works. Anytime a problem arises, the solution to the problem is just preach Christ. That's right. Preach Christ. Christ will solve the issue. Christ will make him more important than whatever it is we thought was important. Just preach Christ. And here's the last thing. Never, I want everybody to hear this, whether you believe God or you don't. If you only can get it in your head, lodge this in your brain and get it. Don't ever take yourself out from under the preaching of the gospel that gives Christ all the glory. Don't do it. Because if God saves you, he's going to save you through this word. And you that believe, don't ever do it, because God's going to continue to save you through this word. He says, hold the profession of your faith without wavering, because he's faithful that promised. And he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And we do it through the preaching of this word. I'm not preaching this gospel by myself. You're preaching this gospel with me. We all are necessary for the preaching of the gospel. And we exhort one another by our attendance and by the message that's preached. And he says, do it the more that you see the day approaching. Times get rough, times get tough, times get hard, persecution arises. Do it even more. Come together and hear the gospel preached. And he says, because if we sin willfully, if we turn and go away and say we don't need the preaching of that gospel,
call it foolishness. We call it unnecessary. And we're forsaking the only mercy there is, Christ the Lord. And he says, and there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Don't leave the gospel. Amen.